Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining me now is Jeffrey Sachs, who's the director of the Earth Institute and professor of sustainable development and professor of health policy and management at Columbia University. He's also a special advisor to United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. And from 2002 to 2006, he was director of the UN Millennium Project and special advisor to United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan on the Millennium Development Goals. He's also president and co-founder of Millennium Promise Alliance, a nonprofit organization aimed at ending extreme global poverty. He's also a member of the Institute for Medicine and a research associate of the National Bureau of Economic Research, and he has an article in the Huffington Post, Budgetary Deceit and America's Decline. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeffrey Sachs.
Good to be with you. Thanks very much.
And you've been traveling from Greece, where there's they're teetering on default. You've been to East Africa, where there's famine threatening 10 million people, and now you're in the Gulf. So you've been able to sort of see this train wreck on Capitol Hill from abroad. What is the sense that you have, having been in countries that have real problems, and here you are watching the United States go through this totally manufactured crisis that is obviously a major self-inflicted wound?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, that all around the world, people are amazed, of course, at this contraption that we call our political system, what a mess it is right now, how irresponsible the politicians are. So I'm getting asked a lot of questions about what indeed is a completely manufactured crisis. I explained today to a lot of leaders in the Gulf that there's no sense in which the U.S. Has run out of money and is being forced to default. This is a manufactured crisis that, in the end, I think is going to end up doing a tremendous amount of damage, further damage to the U.S. economy and to U.S. politics. It's a very sad thing to watch the spectacle from afar, especially given that the U.S. is essentially totally absent these days from any global problem solving. I was in Nairobi recently with Prime Minister Raila Odinga of Kenya, strategizing about how to address this famine, which has gripped the Horn of Africa after two complete failed years of no rain, probably the result of man-made climate change globally impacting this impoverished region. And the U.S. is just not part of the picture. We used to care about such things. We used to help. We used to do things. And, of course, we're focusing on this manufactured crisis, as you put it, at a time when millions of people's lives are completely endangered and the U.S. is nowhere to be seen.
But what's particularly disturbing about this, Jeffrey Sachs, is that you would think that the party responsible for the extortion and the blackmail and for this reckless behavior would be punished. But it looks like they've won on the policy ground. They've clearly won. There's no revenues in this package as far as we can tell. It's all cuts. And it seems that the public is sort of, their attitude is it's a plague on all your houses. And of course, the press contributes to this because of this slavish formula of balance, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, where everything's an equal and opposite argument.
Well, I'm going to add to that in one sense, which is that I am thoroughly disgusted with the Democrats as well as with the Republicans and with the White House, which I think has... And the president, I mean, I think he's just done a very, very poor job in all of this. And the Democrats have their share of the blame also. because really the Democrats over the last 20 years have been the party of Wall Street. The Republicans mainly have been the party of big oil. It's not been a huge amount to choose from. And in the meantime, we don't have a government that functions. The idea that the response is to slash further, which is what seems to be about to be agreed imminently, is going to cause further damage to the large part of America's population that is suffering badly, unemployed, without the education or skills or health or environmental safety or other needs, because both parties have become caterers to the rich and powerful. And in this sense, there is a kind of symmetry and balance. And President Obama has not stood up for basic principles of what used to be the Democratic Party. I don't know what that party stands for anymore, but he's not stood up for core principles. And I guess that what looks, again, from afar, and I'm perhaps too far away to really know what's about to be announced, but it looks like an agreement of cutting, cutting, cutting without any response to tax the millionaires and billionaires that really have made off like bandits during the last 20 years, and many of them have been bandits. And there's no accountability in our system, and seems like there's no interest in either party to holding anybody accountable for the mess or accountable for some basic responsibility and civic virtue in our society. We've just lost all of that. And it is both parties, and it is the White House, and it is a shame, and it is a mess.
Again, I'm speaking with Jeffrey Sachs, who's the director of Columbia University's Earth Institute, and we'll be talking in a little while with Jim Wallace of Sojourners about the moral questions raised by the actions of these few wealthy men, all of whom have health care coverage on Capitol Hill, many of whom call themselves Christians, who are about to unnecessarily impoverish millions of their fellow Americans for ideological reasons. But before we get into that discussion, I'd like to get back to you, Jeffrey Sachs, about just the politics of it in terms of survival. This looks like a suicide pact that President Obama is about to sign and an austerity package that will kill our faltering economy. And when you go back to the beginning of the Obama administration, when they had that big majority and the Democrats had a big majority, it looks as like that was the only time they could have struck. And they came in small with a small stimulus. The money's run out. That's why the economy is dragging to a halt. And there's no chance of another stimulus. So do you trace it back to that first vote? Because remember what happened there. The White House negotiated with Senator Grassley. They cut the stimulus down by 40% in terms of tax breaks as opposed to cash. All that money's run out. It was too little. And look where we're at now. We're about to go the opposite direction, more austerity. It makes absolutely no economic sense.
Well, let me give you a slightly different take, which I maybe adds to the complication of all of this. I was actually against the stimulus at the beginning, and for reasons that I think were borne out, not that it was too big or too small, but that it was wrongly conceived. Basically, we need government to be doing critical things if the U.S. is to be a healthy and functioning society, a decent society, and an internationally competitive society. We need government that is able to rebuild our infrastructure, government that is able to help ensure that all Americans, not just rich Americans, can get a decent education. We need a government that can help to ensure that we have a functioning energy system that can address the growing environmental risks and growing risks of dependence on a depleting stock of global oil. In other words, we need government to be doing critical things. I was against the stimulus bill, so-called, because I'm not especially a Keynesian economist who believes that the main function of government is to, quote, increase aggregate demand. I'm an economist who believes that the role of government is to carry out functions that markets don't carry out, like the ones that I mentioned on infrastructure, science, technology, environmental protection, help for the poor, and so on. So when Obama came in, I did not want in 4 weeks throwing money at the economy under the rubric of aggregate demand or stimulus. I thought that that would look irresponsible, would be irresponsible, and would prevent us from doing what really needs to be done, which is to have a serious government that makes serious long-term plans and carries them out consequently and gives confidence to people that their money, their tax dollars, are being properly used. So this puts me in a little bit of an odd position, I must say. I think Paul Krugman has been wrong repeatedly in saying all we need to do or what we should have done is throw even more money at these problems, but throw money. That what counts is whether it's tax cuts or spending increases, just raise demand. We need something far more sophisticated than that. We need a government that identifies the needs in our society and makes serious, long-term steps to carry out the things that markets won't solve, but carry them out consequently, effectively, transparently, not wasting money, not giving tax breaks to rich people and rich companies to pile up even more money, not adding it up as, quote, aggregate demand, but looking at it in terms of the core functions of government. This is where I really fault President Obama, but I also fault a lot of the lazy advice that he was given. We never in this administration have had a serious look at the things that government needs to do. Obama's idea of infrastructure was shovel-ready projects. How absurd. We need a serious rebuilding of America's infrastructure. They weren't shovel-ready. They needed analysis. They needed 21st century technologies, not shovels. And we never had that. We've never had an energy plan. We've never had a forward-looking strategy for improving science, technology, and American competitiveness. We've given the idea, and unfortunately too many Democrats bought it also, that the role of government is to stimulate. And this is, in the end, not convincing to the public. It looks like throwing money after problems, not solving problems. It discredited government. And at this point, Obama's throwing out government, it seems. Of course, we'll see what happens in the next day. But he, from what he's been saying in recent days, really ought to run in the Republican primaries, because basically he's talking about how much can we cut government, and there is no attention to these core needs, which used to be the basic philosophy of the party that he leads. And this is, I think, the big problem, not that the stimulus was too small, but that we never had a strategy, never had plans, never thought out the basic fact that in America, the government is not carrying out its role, and the United States is becoming a society divided between rich and poor, a society not developing the skills for the 21st century, and a society losing international competitiveness. And it's adding up to a growing economic disaster. And there is no plan to get us out. And basically, we're going to see government slashed further. We're going to see tax cuts more for the rich, because both the Democrats and the Republicans listen to their big campaign contributors and the powerful companies that back them up. And that's the tragedy of our system right now and the mess of our economy.
Just in the last minute, Jeffrey Sachs, How do you change the national debate? Who does this? In other words, the anti-government thing has gone on for so long that it's almost in the political DNA. Obviously, the question shouldn't be about how much tax you pay, and we pay very little anyway compared to the rest of the world. It's what you get
That's
back.
That's absolutely right.
And it's what you get back for your taxes should be the argument. We don't have a polity here where people understand, like in other social democracies, that you pay your taxes and you get your government services. Nobody see, and what little we have in terms of government services are now on the chopping block.
You said it exactly right, and that's why we need a third party, I believe, to start with, because both these parties are in the hands of corporate interests and the millionaire and billionaire campaign contributors. So is the White House. We are ending basically core government services that people depend on and that we depend on to have an effective economy in a highly competitive 21st century. We need to have a new kind of politics. It's happened before in American history. It happened during the Progressive Era when basically a third party attack on two parties that represented, as today, the Gilded Age vested interests became vulnerable to the real demands of the public. And I believe that this is what is needed in America today, because it's not going to come from the political parties. It's not going to come from the White House. We have no change that we were promised. We really were hoodwinked. This has been bait and switch. Change you can believe in, and then what we have is more of the same from both parties. And again, I'm judging and a little bit from afar, since I'm several thousand miles away from the United States. But from what I'm seeing, it really looks like we're going to see government slashed exactly the opposite of what we need. We don't need government slashed. We need government to be effective now. And we need a social and political movement in our country that understands that certain things we need don't simply come from the rich and the companies. They come from our shared political action. And we need, and I think most Americans understand that intuitively and would rally behind a movement that says it's time for effective government, not shutting down government.
I thank you so much for joining us here today, Jeffrey Sachs.
Good to speak with you. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Hello again, I'm Ian Masters, just speaking then with Jeffrey Sachs, Director of the Earth Institute, Professor of Sustainable Development and Professor of Health Policy and Management at Columbia University. He's also a Special Advisor to United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, and he is also a Research Associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Jim Wallace. Siri pockets de magalande, mango.